Well, good morning. Are you all well? Let's turn to that second chapter of Ruth that we have been looking at, and I'm going to read some verses, beginning at the verse 16, just bringing us a little further in the story of Ruth and God's dealings with her, chiefly through this man, Boaz. And we're looking at Boaz, of course, as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you read the Bible, you should do that. We like looking at pictures when we're reading. We like reading books that have pictures. Well, one of the first, if not the first books that men read was the Bible. And long before men were able to print actual pictures or photographs or drawings, God printed photographs or drawings, pictures, but he did so with words. We've been looking at one of the pictures, that of Boaz, how he showed us the Lord Jesus. I might say that in the Bible, really, you only find pictures of one person. That's the Lord Jesus. Oh, there are many men and women pictured for us in the Bible, descriptions given us of them. But those who were holy and good and righteous were meant to show to us the Lord Jesus. They would show likenesses to him. For it's in seeing him, boys and girls, it is in seeing him that we find salvation. John the Baptist uttered words that perhaps are among the most famous and certainly the most important found in the Bible. There came a day when he shouted out and pointed to the Lord Jesus, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And that's the gospel. That's the gospel. It's a wonderful thing that the wondrous mystery of man's redemption can be stated accurately and fully with so few words. Behold the Lamb of God. That's the gospel. Jesus is the Lamb of God, and it is by looking to him. Not just looking at him with our eyes, but looking to him in the fashion that we, when we're sick, who do we look to? Well, maybe the first person you look to is Mommy. You trot off to Mommy and you say, "Mommy, I'm not feeling too well." But Mommy doesn't stop there. When she makes a few inquiries and she discovers, well, yes, they're not too well. Little son, little daughter, they're not well. I'll phone the doctor. That's who we look to when we're sick, the doctor. And when we say we're looking to the doctor, it means we're telling the doctor, we're consulting the doctor, we're depending on the doctor, we're going to be instructed by the doctor. And that's what it means to look to Christ, to behold the Lamb of God. You are instructed by him. You obey him. You trust him as your Savior. That's why there are pictures then of the Savior in the Bible given us in the lives of ever so many of the people we meet. So let's read from verse 16, reminding ourselves of the story. Here are the instructions of Boaz to his workers concerning Ruth. He says, "Let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Then she took it up, and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth, and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, "Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou, or where did you work today? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee." And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, "The man's name with whom I wrought today was Boaz." Now I want you to notice that in those words we have indicated to us, she knew the name of the man in whose field she had worked, but that was it. She didn't go on to say, "He's a relative of yours. He was a relative of your husband's." No, she didn't know that.
She just knew his name.
And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead.
And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next or closest kinsmen. So Ruth's beginning to learn who this man Boaz was.
Beginning to learn who he was.
And beginning to learn the wonderful benefits that he could bring to her and to her mother-in-law.
But we have been looking at how Boaz treated Ruth when she was in the field. He showed great kindness to her. We've been looking at that. I sought to illustrate the kindness of Boaz under three headings. I sought to show you that he provided protection for Ruth. Told the young man to look after her. Don't in any way upset her or annoy her or rebuke her. That can happen, you know. That can happen. And it would have happened back then in the fields. Young fellows might have been anything but courteous towards the young ladies. Something young men should not be is discourteous, but they should act properly towards young ladies. But there was always a chance in the field, among all the workers, that she might not have been treated properly, especially when she was a stranger. We're always more inclined to be unkind to strangers. But Boaz, he issued orders that she be looked after. His words were words of protection. But he also made provision for Ruth. We looked at that, didn't we? Remember how he encouraged her when she was thirsty to partake of the water that was provided? When she was hungry, come and eat with the others. Oh, how kind is God. I tried to show you, boys and girls, that we receive from God our daily bread. Here you are this morning and your tummy's nice and full, I hope. Nice and content. No rumblings from hunger. Just remember that across the world there's many's a little boy and many's a little girl this morning. And they're starving. They do not know what it is to be like you with a nice, satisfied feeling in their tummy. They're hungry. And that nice, satisfied feeling in your tummy comes from the mercy of God. He has given you your daily bread. Just as Boaz provided for Ruth, both refreshing water and bread to eat. So it is with the Lord. So Boaz, like our Savior, provided for Ruth. Now, we're coming to the last little study in this section. We'll not be too much longer in the book of Ruth, because we're coming to the very center, the very climax of the wonderful story of Boaz. Though you'll have to wait till next year to hear that, because this is the last assembly of this year. But next year we'll move on in the will of God in our study. I want you to notice today that the measure of the kindness of Boaz to Ruth was one of plenty. One of plenty. He wasn't content to say, let her glean in the field. Let her pick up whatever is lying on the ground and which has been overlooked by the reapers. Let her pick all those straws up. He wasn't content with doing that. That's what the law of God required of him to do. But he wasn't content with doing that. We read in the verse 16 how he instructed his workers that let fall also some of the handfuls on purpose for her. Purposely, deliberately, when you're reaping the field and gathering together the straw, drop a handful for Ruth. I don't know how many men Boaz would have had in the field. Would he have had 10? Very possibly. He might have had 20. So throughout the day, whatever number there were, they would occasionally drop a handful. And Ruth was able to gather up all these handfuls that had been deliberately dropped
for her to gather up. This was the kindness, the measure of the kindness of Boaz toward Ruth. Now, boys and girls, it's important that you remember that Ruth did not know who Boaz was. That is, she knew his name by now, but she didn't know who he was. It wasn't until she got home and when she told her mother-in-law that her mother-in-law burst out in praise. Verse 20, "Blessed be the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. This man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen." And of course that was a very special relationship in the light of the Word of God, because under the law of God, the kinsman was one to whom you could appeal when in trouble and say, "Help us." And that kinsman was under an obligation from God to help the relative in any way they could. But Ruth didn't know that Boaz was the kinsman redeemer. She was ignorant of that fact. So she was benefiting from the kindness of Boaz at a time when she didn't know who Boaz was. Boys and girls, I cannot stress nearly enough how that this is a picture of God's actions toward us, even when we didn't know him. Oh, since you have become saved, I hope you have begun to realize and recognize more and more the kindness of God toward you. And now that you're saved, you can turn round and you can look back on your life and you can see what you didn't see taking place during those years. The wonderful kindness of God. The wonderful kindness of God. For I tell you this, just as Boaz had his men drop handfuls of barley for Ruth to gather up, that she might live, that she might not be hungry, so the Lord scattered on our path during those years when we didn't know him and we didn't even recognize his goodness to us. He scattered on our path that by which we were able to live. How wonderfully kind is God. How wonderfully kind is God. Let me just read to you from Matthew's Gospel, the chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Matthew 6, verse 31. "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, but your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." This depicts for us the care that God takes of his people. And that care was being taken of you, was being shown toward you, long before you ever knew him. Long before you ever knew. Oh, the kindness of God, as is illustrated here in the actions of Boaz. Boys and girls, what handfuls of purpose have been scattered on our path? You might not have noticed bundles of barley scattered on the path of life, but God has scattered on your path many handfuls of purpose. Could I suggest some to you that might start you thinking? Did you ever think of the mercy God showed to you when you were born into the family that you are presently a member of? There are many other families in the country. They're living in darkness. They're living in rebellion. They're living in sin. They're living in misery. They're living in shame. They're living in trouble. But you were born into a family that knows God. You were born into a circle where prayer was offered for you before you were born and offered for you ever since you were born. Care has been taken. You've been sheltered. You've been shielded. You've been looked after with a view to the well-being of your soul. That hasn't been neglected by your family.
That hasn't been ignored.
That hasn't been ignored. Don't you see the mercy of God to you in where he placed you? What about the church you belong to? Many churches in this land, the majority of them, reject the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They preach another gospel. They tell their people that which amounts to the devil's lie. They point their people down a road and they say that will take you to heaven, but it's the road to hell. And the boys and the girls sitting in the pews of those churches, that's what they're being told, a lie. They're being set on the wrong path, and it will lead them to everlasting damnation. But God didn't put you in one of those churches. It would be interesting, were you to say to your mother or to your father, how is it we go to the church that we do go to? What made you join this church? What brought you to this church? And they'll tell you of the kindness of God to them in stirring them, awakening them, and getting them, perhaps, out of an old dead church and bringing them to a church where the gospel was preached. And so you were blessed. That's another of the handfuls of purpose that God laid upon your path. Oh, think about it. Then, what about the school you attend? If the church you attend is one of a small minority of good churches, the school you attend is one of a very, very small minority of schools. Boys and girls, there are not as many schools in this land as there are fingers on my two hands where this morning the Word of God is being taught and proclaimed and the children are being instructed as you are. Ah, you older ones in particular, please recognize the kindness of God toward you, bringing you daily under the sound of His Word, placing you daily under the care of teachers who, above all things, and at personal cost to them, desire your eternal well-being. Oh, they strive to give you a good education, and thankfully the record of this school is such that they accomplish that desire. The academic record of this school, you know, is, I think I can say, second to none. But, more importantly, the objective of the teachers is to direct you and help you along the path to everlasting life. What a mercy God showed to you when you were brought to this little school. Oh, I want to strive to get it across to you that the mercy does not lie in the teaching staff or in the surroundings, the organization that lie behind this school. No, it's in the kindness of God in ever bringing this school into existence and calling teachers together and moving their hearts to dedicate themselves to teaching children. That's the mercy that He brought you to such a place. That's the mercy. Handfuls of purpose have been scattered on your lives, scattered on the path that you have been led upon. And what I have touched upon are only some of the handfuls of purpose. You see, I don't know everything about you. I don't know all the things that have happened to you during the days of your life. But if I did, I could point out that every day of your life up to now, you have encountered the handfuls of God's kindness and mercy. We'll just close with the words that Naomi uttered when she was told by Ruth in the verse 19, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And as soon as Naomi heard that, she burst out in praise. Blessed be the Lord. She recognized the kindness of God in bringing Ruth to the fields of Boaz because of who he was. She saw God's hand. She saw God's kindness. I want you today, like Naomi, to recognize the kindness of God to you in how He has ordered your life up to now and how He has scattered upon your path bundles, countless bundles of mercy and tokens of His love. Oh, boys and girls, learn this today. Learn this today. We're coming up to the season of the year in which a lot of people exchange a lot of gifts. And there's a lot of wee boys and girls, and they're expecting all sorts of wonderful gifts. But every day, God heaps upon us much more wonderful gifts than will ever be given on the 25th of December. Every day, God heaps upon us priceless gifts. Be conscious of them and thank Him. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, we commit to Thee this day, and the little ones here, and above all we pray that Thy word will come to their hearts with power and blessing. Bless the staff. Bless all concerning the school, Lord. Provide for it, protect it, bless it. And Lord, there are those who need Your healing touch. They have been prayed for already, and afresh we commit them to Thee. We cannot forget them. God have mercy, and answer prayer today. For Jesus' sake, amen.